My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Father, standing here today at the very first day of a new year, I think it's safe to assume that virtually all of us would love to have length of days, long life, and peace added to us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to take heed to your word, to observe what your word says, but not only to know it intellectually, but to make it a part of our lives, to apply it. Lord, teach us how to apply your word, to make it a part of who we are daily, the way that we interact with people, the way that we respond to people. Jesus, you said that your word sanctifies us. It's truth. Lord, we are washed by the washing of the water of your word. Our minds and lives and hearts are transformed as they are renewed by your word. And so I pray that not just today, but this whole year, that we dedicate this year, 2017, to you on this first day of 2017, and that it would be a year in which we grow in our understanding and our application of who you are and what you've revealed to us, of what you've called us to do. So God, speak to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all those that agreed said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. For some people, the transition into a new year is not that big of a deal. They don't think much of it. It's just another date that moves from 2016 to 2017, another month that moves from December to January. So for a segment of people, it's not that big of a deal. But we know from research that nearly two-thirds of Americans count this as an important transition because it's over 60%, 62% of Americans take time at the end of each year, at the beginning of a new year, to resolve to make some changes, to be different, to do something different in the new year. So with those statistics, 6 of 10 of us in this room this morning have been in the last week or two thinking about 2016 and looking forward to 2017 and maybe desiring to make some alterations, some changes. It was a couple days before the new year, and she walked into the bathroom to see her husband standing there on the scale, and he kept sucking it in, sucking it in, sucking it in, and she finally, shaking her head, said to him, "You do realize that that's not going to help." And he goes, "Sure it will. I can't see the numbers if I don't do that." of Americans are making resolutions, and many people at the top of the list of the things that they resolved to do in 2017, starting off the new year, is to get healthy and to lose some weight. In fact, those are number one and number two of the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Almost every single year, researchers find, to get healthy, to lose weight. I was thinking about this last week and thinking, you know, looking over everything from Thanksgiving, and actually we can even backtrack a little bit before that, from October, November, December, I think probably do need to eat a little healthier, but in thinking about that, probably need to eat all the junk food first so that I'm not tempted by anything in the house, so we'll just have to get through all that by the end of the day. And so there are things that people are resolving this year to do differently like they do every year. Number one, to get healthy, to stay fit. Number two, to lose weight. Number three, to enjoy life to the fullest. Number four, to spend less, to save more. Number five, to spend more time with family and friends. Number six, to get organized. I like this one. Number seven, I resolve to not make any resolutions. Number eight, to learn something new, to start a new hobby. Number nine, to travel more. Number 10, to read more. And so there are people who are making resolutions. 62% of Americans, but get this, only 8% of those who make New Year's resolutions make good on their New Year's resolutions. So the odds are not always in our favor. I hope that every single one of us who are making any resolutions, we're among the 8%. That's what we want to work towards this year. If there's changes, things that you're seeking to want to do in the new year. Now, As I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, as I was thinking about resolving to make a change, to do something different in the new year, I started to think about the wisdom of Solomon. I came to Proverbs chapter 3 and was reading through this passage, and here in this passage, I believe that there are 10 resolutions of the wise man, Solomon. This book, the book of Proverbs, is called the Wisdom of Solomon. Solomon is considered by some to be the wisest man who ever lived, a king in Israel some 3,000 years ago. He wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote these Proverbs, he wrote Song of Solomon, he wrote a number of the Psalms. There are many other Proverbs and wisdom things that he wrote that we do not have, but they're spoken of in the book of the Kings, the book of Chronicles, speaks about the immense wisdom of this man Solomon. And when you read through Proverbs, and I highly recommend that you do that, read through Proverbs chapter 1 through 31. It's pretty interesting that there are 31 chapters in Proverbs and typically 31 days in a month. And so you basically could read through this wisdom literature 12 times in a year if you committed yourself to it. It wouldn't take you very long. And I think that that would aid in our growth of wisdom. In fact, probably one of the greatest things that you could do to change your life in 2017 is to spend time reading God's word. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through this morning. To help you do that, one of the things that I started this last year, 2016, which we are continuing in 2017, is called the Listening Plan. If you go to thelisteningplan.com, just spell it out, no spaces, thelisteningplan.com, you can subscribe to a daily email that will come to you every single weekday starting tomorrow, and it will walk you through the New Testament. It just so happens there are almost identically as many weekdays in a year as there are chapters in the New Testament, and so you can go through the New Testament by just reading through or listening through the Listening Plan to a chapter a day through the New Testament. I think it's a good place to start with the Scriptures. And God's Word is able to make us wise and to transform our minds and to sanctify and cleanse us. And so probably one of the best things that you can do in 2017 would be to commit to read through the Scriptures on a regular basis, daily. And I think the Listening Plan could help. At this point, we have 900 subscribers that are subscribed to this, and it's growing at this point at about 100 new subscribers every single month, and so it's really neat to see that happening. But as I was looking through Proverbs chapter 3 and going through each of the Proverbs here in this chapter, it just so happens that there are about 10 resolutions from the wise man Solomon, this wise guy's resolutions. But notice what he says at the beginning. We just read this verse a moment ago. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." The New Living Translation says, "If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying." I don't think there's anybody in this room or even outside of this room that does not want to live many years and have a satisfying life. In fact, there are many people looking for, seeking for satisfaction in this life, a long life and satisfaction. And we know, and there have been songwriters who have told us, you don't always find it. I can't go get no satisfaction, right? And so people are seeking for it, they're desiring it, and yet they're missing out on it. But Solomon, he says here, "Listen, my child, my son, take heed to the words that I'm going to command you, and the result will be you'll live many years, and your life will be satisfying." And so, if we take note to Solomon's instructions, I believe there are some really helpful resolutions, things that if we resolve to do, will have significant impact in our lives, not just in 2017, but going on into the years to come. And so look with me, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, and we'll see our first resolution that the wise man Solomon gives to us. "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men." And so find favor and high esteem before God and men. It's interesting, we live in a culture today, the 21st century, 2017, especially the generation that's coming up right now that has never lived without smartphones and without social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, you get on the list of all these different social media platforms, and sociologists tell us, those who study these things, that this generation that's coming up right now, their entire esteem, their entire value, the dignity they place in their own lives is based almost entirely in what other people think of them based on their social media. It's phenomenal. And so they'll post pictures, they'll post all kinds of different thoughts that they have, and their mood rises and falls. Their happiness or their lack of happiness, it rises and falls based on how many people like the things that they put on or comment. They're looking for their value, their esteem to come from what other people think of them. Now, I'm here to tell you today that ultimately that does not bring any greater value or esteem, but you will find the greatest value coming when it comes from God. And so here Solomon says, if you want to experience the favor and the esteem of God and man secondarily, then do these things. The English Standard Version says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness leave you. Resolution number one, be merciful and faithful. If you want to experience the esteem, the honor of God, and secondarily, the people of this world, and he says, be merciful and faithful. The word there translated merciful, let not mercy and truth forsake you, is the Hebrew word hased, the steadfast love of God. It is one of the attributes that really is core to who God is. If we were to make a list of all the attributes of God, it would be longer than any of us could ever fully put together. But among all the attributes that God that make up who God is, I believe that this is very near the top, if not at the very top. In fact, when he introduces himself to Moses as he defines who he is, his character in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the very first thing he says is the Lord God, merciful, merciful. And so here's Solomon in his wisdom. He says to those who would heed his words, to his child, to his follower, he says to him, be merciful, be faithful. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, it's interesting. Every single one of us want mercy for ourselves. We tend to be, in our fallen human nature, desirous of justice for other people. We know this because anytime someone breaks the law in our presence, typically driving, and we see it, we go, gosh, I wish there was a police officer here right now. Experienced this just last night. I was with Pastor Mark and his wife and my wife, and we're getting off the freeway, and this car went right through the red light, and a cop had just stopped another person. And we're thinking, man, I wish he would have got the guy who went through the red light. Where's the cop? We want justice for other people. But when it's us, and every single one of us have run a red light or two, or maybe gone a little bit faster than we should on the 15. And you know the experience where you catch a glance in your rearview mirror and you think you saw something black and white, and your heart kind of skips a beat. Am I alone in this? No. And what do you instantly, ooh, Lord, please. We want mercy for us. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He goes on. Second resolution is found in verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all, circle that word all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Over the years, I've talked with brothers and sisters in the church, and on more than a few occasions, I've had people tell me, oh, you know, I have a really hard time memorizing scripture. I don't have the best memory. And yet, there are probably a number of you here who you know this verse. You may have read it on a card that someone sent to you as encouragement, or you've seen it on a bookmark, or you've seen it on a poster, or maybe you've come upon it in the scriptures. It's one of them famous verses that people encourage you to memorize. And you know what I found is that even for those who have a hard time memorizing the Bible, it's easier to memorize this verse than to apply it. This is one of those hard verses. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I come to a problem or I come to some sort of issue that I've got to deal with, I'm one of those highly analytical people that wants to look at it from 900 different positions and angles and try and deconstruct it and figure it out. I want to try and understand it and fix it. And there are many times that I come to obstacles and difficulties that are just not fixable in my strength or my ability. But it's so hard for me to kind of let go and relinquish my understanding in those situations. And yet here Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on, don't rely on your own understanding. In every step you take, in all your ways, acknowledge him and trust. He will direct your steps through whatever problem that you're facing, whatever difficulty you're going to. And so resolution number two, trust God completely. Trust God completely. Don't depend upon, rely upon solely your own understanding, but entrust your cares to the Lord. The scriptures say, commit your cares to the Lord, for he cares for you. That's good news. It's good news to know that as we stand at the beginning of a new year, and I can guarantee you, you and I, every one of us are going to go through things this year that produce anxiety. A number of people in our church right now are going through very distressing things that cause extreme anxiety and worry and stress. But Jesus taught who by worrying can add one cubit to their stature, or another way of saying it, who by worrying can add one day to their life. You really can't fix anything by worry. The scriptures say, do not fret, it only causes harm. And I'm sure that every single one of us have experienced at some point the harm of fretting and worrying. You know what worry is? It's meditating on your problems. People sometimes want to know, what exactly is meditation? Well, if you don't know how to meditate, you actually do, because every time you worry, that's what you're doing. You're just constantly going over and over and over again in your mind on what your problem is and how can I fix it and how can I make this right? And yet, Solomon in his wisdom given to him by God, says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In every step you take, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Listen, we believe in a living God. A God who knows and is intimately involved in the things of our lives. The scripture said he knows the number of the hairs on your head. Now, for some of you, you've made it easy for God, but he knows the number of the hairs on your head, something so insignificant and weird that the scriptures would say that. And if he knows that, he knows the things you're facing, and he has the ability and power to direct your steps. Isaiah the prophet, 2,800 years ago, he wrote this, God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. God will keep you, maintain you, hold you in a place of perfect peace. The words for perfect peace in the original language are shalom, shalom. Shalom is the greeting oftentimes of the Jews, both then and now. It means peace be to you. Peace, shalom. And he says, you will keep him in shalom, shalom, shalom to the second power. Peace multiplied. The person whose mind is set and stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then the following verse, verse 4, Isaiah 26, verse 4, the application of that truth. He says, trust in the Lord forever, for in him is everlasting strength. I want to know the perfect peace of God. And so the way to do that is to set and fix your heart and your mind upon the Lord, to trust in him, to put your confidence in him. Well, Solomon continues in verses 7 and 8. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Resolution number 3, be humble. Resolve in 2017 to be humble. We live in a culture that says you need to be assertive. You need to stand your ground. You need to have strong self-esteem or pride. And yet, though that is the way that people assume they will succeed in this world, this kingdom, in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is eternal, he says that, you know, really, don't be wise in your own eyes. Be humble. The New Living Translation says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Jesus taught this. He says in Luke chapter 14, When someone invites you to a meal, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, go up higher, and then you will have glory in the presence of those who you sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so the exhortation is given repeatedly in the scriptures, humble yourself before God. He is the one who will lift you up, who will exalt you. Follow the pattern of Jesus. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. He humbled himself, and Paul says, let that mind be the mind that you hold on to, that you live after. God's economy is different than the economy that we live in. And so resolve in 2017 to be humble. Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Resolution number 4, be giving. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything that you have. And this is hard sometimes for us because the scriptures make very, very clear, our hearts are connected to our treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus spoke on this quite a bit in the Gospels, the issues of wealth, the issues of money. And in the wisdom of Solomon, God-given wisdom, he says, listen, give your first fruits to the Lord. He will take care of the things that you need. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep. After all those things, unbelievers seek. But you have a Father in heaven who knows the things that you have need of. Trust him. Seek first his kingdom. And all these things will be added to you, which is exactly what Solomon is saying here. Be one who gives of the first fruits to the Lord, and he will cause you to have the abundance that you need. The abundance that you need. He takes care of our needs. You know, I have seen this in other people's lives. I've experienced this in my own life. For all of my adult life, every single time any sort of income comes in, the very top of it, the first fruits, the first bit of it is given to the Lord. We have, as a family, my wife and I, we have always given at least 10% of everything that comes in to the Lord. And there have been times where things have seemed to be tight, where we go, I don't know if we're going to have what we need in this situation. And every time without fail, and sometimes miraculously, God has taken care of the things that we have need of. No, I am not promulgating or preaching some sort of prosperity gospel that just simply says that God exists in heaven to give you all the things that you want. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus did say, Luke's gospel, chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put to your account, your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Here's something I've seen and I've taught. God gives to an open hand. Someone who's willing to give to others, to share with others, God will give to them because he finds them faithful in the things that he has given to them. And if you say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't have what I need to be able to accomplish this. Listen, we want to help you to be able to do that. That's why in just a couple of weeks on the 14th, we're going to be having a faith and finances class. It's just one day for 3 hours on a Saturday morning, the 14th of January. If you want to understand the theology of treasure, what's the Bible have to say about these things? But then also some practical counsel, both from the scriptures and just practical, good understanding on these things. I'm going to be teaching this class. You can register for free online at the church's website, lifeandconnection.com. Come on out. I think it'll be of great value to you. Why? Because the wisdom of God through Solomon is to honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Resolve to be giving in 2017. He goes on, verse 11, Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Resolution number 5, be teachable. Be teachable. This year, not only are we going to have a faith and finances class, but we're going to have a class on marriage, a class on parenting, and a number of other discipleship classes coming in 2017. And those are great areas for us to be teachable, but that's not the only place where we need to be teachable, because notice, he speaks here as of a father to his children. God, if you're a follower of Jesus, is your father, and he disciplines his children. Now, how many of you remember being disciplined as a child? Oh boy, I do. Now, there's a couple different ways you can respond to discipline. You can harden your heart. You can stand against it. You can turn away from the discipline and try and rebel against that discipline, and it will have no value and produce no fruit in your life. Or you can turn into that discipline and recognize that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If you're disciplined by the Lord, it's revelatory to us. It reveals to us that you're his child. And the one Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews, quotes this verse verbatim in Hebrews chapter 12. And he says, the person who is exercised by this correction from God, it yields in their life the peaceable fruits of righteousness. It produces righteousness in their life. And so endeavor, resolve in this year to be teachable, to turn into the correction of the Lord, not turn away from the correction of the Lord, to allow God to instruct. You see, this idea of discipline is connected to the idea of discipleship. And God wants to grow us into maturity. He does not want us to stay like little infantile two-year-old Christians. And let me tell you, there are a lot of, in the church, not just this church, the church, other churches probably, infantile Christians. And we need to grow. And sometimes that, well, actually many times, that takes turning into the chastening of the Lord, accepting it and saying, God, disciple me, raise me up. And so resolve this year to be teachable. Solomon continues verses 13 through 24, kind of a big section here. In fact, much of the book of Proverbs, the 31 chapters of Proverbs, have to deal with what he talks about here when he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. More than any other book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, this short 31-chapter book, speaks of wisdom. This word is used almost 50 times in the 31 chapters. Almost every single one of the chapters of this book deals with wisdom. The opening words of Proverbs is the call to us to seek wisdom. And here again, he returns to this theme. He says, blessed, happy is the one, the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Almost always in the Proverbs, he personifies wisdom as a her. And she, wisdom, is to be pursued. Verse 14, for her, wisdom's proceeds are better than the profits of silver, the gain of gold. How many people do you know that are seeking for and purposing in their life to pursue riches? Most of the people that we interact with on a regular basis are seeking their life to get after riches. He says, wisdom is better than silver and fine gold. Wisdom, verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that men desire cannot compare to her. Think of all the things that we, our hearts, desire in this world. Our hearts are like little desire factories. They just produce desires constantly. I want that, I want that, I want that. Now, as you get older, you learn to kind of restrain that and keep it quiet. But man, when you're a little kid and you see this, they just constantly, I want, I want, I want, I want. They just comes right out of them. We go, gosh, they're so immature. No, we are the same. It's there. We just mask it better. But it's always there, desire after desire. He says everything that man could desire, it pales in comparison to wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, wisdom's right hand. And in her left, riches and honor. A long life, prestige, riches. It's found truly in honor, in wisdom. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain wisdom, retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, and then you will walk safely in your way. and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. I don't know about you, but I like sweet sleep. I have four young kids. I like sweet sleep. And so, resolve, number six, to be a seeker of wisdom. To be a seeker of wisdom is to be a seeker of God, because he is the source of wisdom. It comes from him. And so be a seeker of wisdom in 2017. And as I said earlier, if you want to begin to fulfill this resolution, I'd encourage you to read a proverb a day. Proverbs chapter 1 on January 1st, chapter 2 on January 2nd, go through and see if the words of God's wisdom through Solomon do not change the way that you see the world, the way that you interact with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers, with your friends. He goes on, verse 25, Proverbs chapter 3, do not be afraid of sudden terror. Gosh, isn't that what we've been afraid of for 16 years now? Since 9/11, Americans, Westerners, afraid of sudden terror. It was all over the news the last couple of days as people were getting ready to celebrate New Year's Eve last night. The worries about these big events that were happening, and from Sydney all the way through, people were watching last night to see if there would be any terror attacks. There happened to be one last night in Istanbul. And people are afraid of sudden terror. And here he says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. It will come. It will come. Notice that. When it comes. But he says, don't be afraid. How? How can we not be afraid when it comes? He says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Resolution number seven, be confident in the Lord. This goes back to number two, trust God completely. Find your confidence in the Lord. The scriptures say, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our Lord, the psalmist writes. It was true 3,000 years ago, it is true today. Though they may have trusted in horses and chariots 3,000 years ago, today people trust in things like nuclear weapons. They trust in the strength of their government. They trust in their 401k. They trust in their intelligence. They trust in their career. They trust in their looks, which are fleeting fast. They trust in all kinds of different things, things that you can put your confidence in. And every single one of those things will leave you when the hard time comes. They will not support you when difficulty comes into your life. But the Lord is our strength. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. He's our sure foundation. He's our fortress, our rock, our refuge. Be confident in the Lord. And the only way you truly can be confident in the Lord is to spend time getting to know him and to see that he is worthy of your confidence and your trust. How will you ever trust in him if you don't truly know him? And there is no better way to get to know him than to get to know him in the way that he's revealed himself through the scriptures, through his word. And so resolve in 2017 to be confident in the Lord. He continues, verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you now. Resolution number eight, be generous and good. Be generous and good. Don't withhold good to those to whom it is due. Don't hold back when you have the ability to give to someone. Be generous and good. He goes on, verse 29. Do not devise evil, plan evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Resolution number nine, be a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor. We talked about this in our series leading up to Christmas about 3-4 weeks ago. We talked about the concept of being a good neighbor. A lawyer came to Jesus and asked him, what's the greatest command in the law? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this lawyer, seeking to justify himself, he said to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Trying to find a loophole to not be neighborly to somebody. And so Jesus taught through what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan, revealing who the neighbor was. The neighbor was the one who showed mercy. The neighbor was the one who showed goodness and kindness. And so here Solomon says, resolve to be one who is a good neighbor. Finally, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. He says, do not envy the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel, God's secret counsel, is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Resolution number 10, be just. He blesses the home of the just. The word just could be translated also righteous. Be righteous in the way that you deal with people. Act rightly. The prophet Micah, he said, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy and to walk in humility before God. To do justly. To love mercy. A lot of times we want to swap those. To love justice. We want to put that there, and that's where our nature goes. And yet he says, I want you to do what's right. To be merciful to other people and to walk in humility. I suggest to you that if you take some time in 2017 to apply yourself, to resolve to do some of these things. Yes, getting fit, getting healthy, losing weight, getting on a budget, spending more time with family, reading more, all those things have value. All those things could be good. But Solomon said, my son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. If you do this, you will live many years in your life. Will be satisfying. I suggest that these wise man's resolutions might be at least one answer, one step in moving that direction. And so may God help us in this new year to be merciful and faithful, to trust God completely, even when we're going through things that try our minds and our hearts, to be humble, to be giving, to be teachable, to be a seeker of wisdom, to be confident in the Lord, to be generous and good, to be a good neighbor, and to be just. Amen? Now, with the time we have remaining today, we want to do what we do every new year, starting off the new year, and that is to partake of communion together, to partake of the bread which symbolizes the body of Jesus that was broken for us, to take of the cup that symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. We're going to be studying in just a couple of months through this year, through the book of Hebrews. And as we go through the book of Hebrews, we're going to see that that old system of sacrifice that was a part of the Old Testament, the first covenant, that was never enough. It was insufficient to deal with the problem of our sin. But Jesus came and established a new covenant 2,000 years ago, and his death on the cross is enough to deal with all sin of all people at all times. And so when we partake of the bread and the cup, we're remembering that he has paid it all. It's done. It is finished. And so I'm going to invite our worship leaders to come back up. They're going to lead us as our ushers are going to distribute the bread and the cup. Make sure you just grab the bread, grab the cup, hold on to it, and we'll partake together in just a few minutes. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to apply, to do the things that we see in your word, not just here in Proverbs chapter 3, but in other places, that we would make these things a part of our lives every single day, and that God, you, by your word, would transform us. You'd sanctify us. You'd cleanse us. You'd make us more like you, Jesus. Help us to be those who are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. God, pour out your Spirit upon your church and begin to produce in our lives love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience, all these things, Lord. As a witness of your glory, as a witness of your grace, work in us. And Lord, now as we dedicate this new year to you, as we remember that the very reason that we have received forgiveness and grace is because your body and your body broken, your blood shed for us. Lord, help us to keep that in our hearts and minds, not just now as we prepare to partake of communion, but as we go from this place. Do a work in your church, and through your church we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Through your holy
night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks. Giving it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same manner, after they had eaten, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Lord, we know that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do so proclaiming your death until you come, knowing that you are not still dead, but you are alive. You rose from the dead and you are seated at the right hand of glory. And Lord, we trust that you will one day come again. We look forward to that day. But we know that the very fact that you have yet to come back means that there is still work for us to do in 2017. Work for every single person that you have brought to this place today. By your grace, you have gifted every single one of us. By your grace, you've called every single one of us. We are not worthy of that calling. And yet, Jesus, you, by your wonderful love and goodness and your grace, have given to each of us gifts and callings. And we are your workmanship, created for good works that you prepared for us for this year. Good things that you have for your church, for us in 2017. And I pray, God, that we would fulfill every one of those good works as we seek and follow you. And it is certain that your people, a part of this church this year, will go through difficult things, experience anxiety-producing things. There will be highs and lows, joys and sorrows. But in every single one of those things, God, we pray that you would reign over our lives and that we would see your hand even when we're going through trials and difficulty. Help us to be strengthened by you. Lord, we look to you by your Spirit. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being of ourselves, but you have given us the strength, sufficiency that we need. And so, God, would you build up your church here at Cross Connection this year? And would you use us to be lights in a dark world? That people would see our good works and glorify you, our Father in heaven. We thank you for the salvation that you've given to us, the grace that you've given to us. And I pray, God, that you would use us, your church, to extend that to other people. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all those that agree said,